behind your disguise. It builds up inside until I have to blurt. Bullshit alert, yes, bullshit alert. It's bullshit alert.
Welcome to Bullshit Alert. I'm your host, Jeff Griggs. And as usual, I have a group of friends with me today, and I'm pretty sure they're all lying to me. I think they were lying to me before we even started. We have banter that happens before the show starts, and I don't trust some of the banter that comes along with some of this. I'm going away from the intro, but let's get back to it. I have a group of friends with me today. I'm pretty sure they're all lying to me. If they're lying and I think they're telling the truth, I will award them points. If they're telling the truth and I think they're lying, I'll award them points. If I guess right and they just make me laugh, I'm going to award them points. The scoring is very complicated. It's also very precise, and it's available on our Instagram page, Bullshit Alert without an I. Joining me today are some of my bullshitting friends. First up is Danny Marshall. Hi, Danny.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me, as always.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Before we started the show, Danny was furiously searching for his bar mitzvah tape so he could show us.
Okay, not a tape. I'm not as old as you. It's on a hard drive.
It's on a hard drive. And he was furiously searching for it to the point that we had no clue what he was doing. He was just running around furiously searching for it and never found it. Do you think it's lost forever?
I know exactly. I have a DVD copy of it somewhere in this house, but I shipped it in all my stuff. It's on the other hard drive that I sent. And I had the coolest montage in the middle school class of 2008 at Jericho Middle School.
I thought you were going to say in bar mitzvah history, because that would be.
I can't speak for all Jews. That's not how we work.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Also joining us is Lily Moss. Hi, Lily. How are you?
I'm good. I'm Jewish, but I didn't have a bar mitzvah.
So. You're not really Jewish, though.
Okay. Do you know how small the Jewish population is, Danny? Do you really want to exclude someone from the tribe that wants to be a part of it?
The rule is that if you're born to a Jewish mother, or your mother has converted when you were born, then you're Jewish. Now, Lily, is or was your mother Jewish?
Shut up.
Okay.
Very nice. Also joining us all the way from France, it is Jan Jean-Guinet.
Close. No. Hey, that's better.
I didn't think about it until I was just about to pronounce it. I was like, oh, I don't think I've ever said Jan's last name.
You're like every person at an airport. They're always like, yeah. Oh, enjoy the flight, Mr. Something. Enjoy the flight, Mrs. Something. And then they're like, enjoy the flight. And that's it.
How do you say your last name?
Like the game Jenga and Nay. Jenga Nay.
It's
overly complicated. Yeah.
It is, but it's beautiful too. Like just the letters, mm-hmm. everything there. It's just so nice to look at. Why is that funny to everybody?
I thought it was more beautiful when you were saying Jean-Guinet.
It's not your fault. Danny, you're being a little harsh.
No, you're a good friend, and I know I've known your name since the third time I met you.
When I was little, I used to be like, why couldn't you name me J-A-N? Because all the kids were very mean about my name. But now I've grown into it because it's my grandmother's name and Joan of Arc's. Well, my first name is Joan of Arc's name when she was alive is Jean. With the H.
We're barely into this episode and we've learned so much.
Joan of Arc got a posthumous name?
Posthumous?
Oh, okay.
Jews know that word.
We can take posthumous.
In French, her name is Jeanne d'Arc. And when she was in old French, the name has an H in it when she was alive.
Jeff, I had a friend whose last name was Posthumanist, and I never knew how to pronounce it until we were on a podcast. So.
Sure. Makes sense.
Your friend is always dead.
Jan is a director, writer, editor, producer, and has worked on a lot of projects around town. And we all know her from her time at the Second City Film School, also known as the Harold Ramis Film School, but no longer known as the Harold Ramis Film School. Well, welcome to the show, Jan. Jan, I'd like to introduce you to my best friend. It is our scorekeeper and our timekeeper. This is Stephen Carter. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, Jeff. Love that attitude today. You're really bringing it for me.
What an honor to meet Jeff Griggs' best friend.
Mm-hmm. We're very close. I don't know where he lives. I'm not certain about anything, but I do know that he cut his hair to look like mine, and that makes us best friends.
It does.
What's going on in the bunker this week?
Oh.
Are you moving? Because you have a lot of boxes behind you.
No, those are just there always. They've just got old knickety-knacks in it, and some knickknacks.
It kind of looks like they're just boxes of trophies from your childhood, just like a trophy room.
Yeah, what kind of trophies are in those boxes?
Oh, we've got a dead seahorse. We have a child next to a lamppost.
That's a trophy
of the sea. We have a cougar. We've got a braided horse, some old liquor, a skunk, a little skunk.
Seems like you competed in mostly animal-related activities.
Are you a champion taxidermist?
Only in the off time.
And second place skunk goes to.
Yeah.
And
you, no, and, first place.
And a shrinker, like you shrink them down and then stop them somehow.
Honey, I shrunk my taxidermy.
Rick Moranis comes back just for that movie.
Well, very nice. Good to see everybody for our week's game. This week, we're starting off with the strangest thing that happened to you this week. And we are going to start with Lily. Lily, what was the strangest thing that happened to you this week?
Well, now I think the strangest thing is, I don't think I got an intro, Jeff. I don't think you said hello to me. You went from Danny to Jan to Stephen.
Mm-hmm. I said, hi, Lily. How are you this week?
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, did I respond?
Yeah. So, and then the whole posthumous thing happened.
Yeah. So we have now, I will now take an immediate guess and say that the strangest thing that happened to you was a lie, because I did introduce you. Danny, what was the strangest thing that happened to you this week?
No. Thanks, Jeff. So the strangest thing, Lily, I'm talking. Lily, this is my turn.
Come on. I'm just an idiot.
She got real sad.
I have very short-term memory. Okay, the weirdest thing that happened to me this week, Jeff, you're a great host. You fulfill your duties.
Fulfill your duties. The highest.
That's a sign of a great host. That means you really like me as a host.
And still no points have taken away because she has to win this episode.
Anyway, my mom got a new car recently, and I'm not super used to the look of it yet, but I'm up here and I've been using the car. And I went to a town called Hudson with my girlfriend, Sydney, this past weekend. And we parked and we started walking towards a restaurant. I was like, oh shit, like I forgot to put quarters in the meter. And the car is bright red, I'll say that. It's very distinctive bright red. So I just ran back and like popped a couple quarters in the meter. And I saw like, oh, it already had like an hour left. Like I was totally fine anyway. And then I ran back to the restaurant. And then afterwards, we were walking back, and Cindy was like, oh, like, look at this Alfa Romeo car. And it's like the same color as your mom's car. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's really nice. Oh, wait. I think I put quarters in the meter for this car and not my car, because it was just the same color and I was going really quickly. And I go back to our car and it has a parking ticket on it.
Ooh, how much was the parking ticket?
It's only $10, but I just think it's funny that I...
That's not even a ticket. That's just saying, hey, welcome to America. Give me $10.
It costs more to print the ticket than to give it in Hudson, apparently.
Yeah. But I just think it's funny. I paid for the parking of like a $200,000 car.
It's true. Like $10 would be what you would pay for parking in Chicago. You're downtown in the loop for an hour in some of those neighborhoods. So you're getting a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
I know. It's fine. It just, I was a fool. And apparently only distinguished cars by the color.
Are you going to pay the ticket?
Yeah.
I already paid the ticket.
Wow.
That's a new move.
Did you pay it in quarters? Because it's only $10.
It's only like 40 quarters.
Yeah.
It's a mess, Steven.
For a second, I was like, is that counting on my fingers?
I wish this was a video podcast because you really did count it up. I saw it in your face. Your head tilted, and I saw you calculating as you were thinking about that. Okay, Lily, thank you for that. Danny, what was the strangest thing that happened to you this week?
Did you introduce me? I'm kidding. All right. Thanks, Jeff. The strangest thing that happened to me this week was that I went to a piano bar with my cousin and a friend of ours in Manhattan, and I led a rendition of Long Island's own Piano Man in the whole bar. And I was like up there with the piano and I led the whole thing.
Was it Marie's Crisis?
No, it was Brandy's. Mm. Yeah, on the Upper East Side.
And did people join in?
Yeah. No, it's the Piano Man. So I kind of, you have to when you're in New York, but also everyone knows it. It's a good song. And they just, the pianist was just like, you know, you can come up and sing songs with him. And I kind of got, I said, let everyone, you know, come on, join in, let's do this. And
did everyone then put bread in his jar?
Yeah. Yeah. And they said, man, what are you doing here?
And he's like, oh, I like sourdough.
There's that Punder Dome experience.
There we go. Fun champion of the Midwest. Yeah.
Did you feel like you were the hero of the piano bar?
Oh, hero? I wouldn't say hero, but I would say that I made the night better for everybody. I definitely, there was kind of this solidarity. You know, when I left the bar, people like kind of nodded and like, you know, gave me a little like air pound or something. You know, there was a good camaraderie between me and the common folk.
Were you the only one that did this?
There was like karaoke, like you could sing with, it's not karaoke, it was like a pianist playing and he was singing. And then there was a part of the night where he's like, oh yeah, if you want to just like come up and ask me. And a few people sang some songs, and then some of which were beautiful and much better than me. And this woman came up out of nowhere and sang some song from a Broadway show that was a failed Broadway show, but had one amazing song that she like had this amazing voice, and everyone was just silently in awe of this woman. And then like a few songs later, I came on and then once he started doing Piano Man, everyone was like, well, it's Piano Man. And I was like, come on, everybody. And I did the whole thing where by the chorus, I stuck the mic out for everybody and I didn't have to sing it.
You're living your bar mitzvah entertainer dreams.
Yeah, kind of, but you know.
Did you say what night of the week it was?
I did not say what night of the week. In a song, I said it was a Saturday, but it wasn't a Saturday. So it felt
weird. Night of the week was it?
It was a Wednesday.
A Wednesday. Okay, fantastic. Thank you for that. Jan, what was the strangest thing that happened to you this week?
I'm in the Jersey Shore with my family in Cape May.
That sounds great.
I'm also in a house that I'm 1,000% sure is haunted. So, and as someone who has a fear of ghosts, it is quite the enchanting trip. I'm sure that there's something in this closet right here. So, well, I flew home and I got on the plane, or I got to the gate. And they, have you ever had where you got to the gate and then they're like, there's no overhead bag space and you have to check your bag. So I had to check my bag at the gate and then they lost my bag.
Oh no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did they track it down? Were you able to find it at all?
Yeah, they got it in like 2 days, which was annoying. Okay. But luckily I was at my mom's house.
2 days? To
like some tropical vacation. But it's annoying also because it's like my rugby bag from Boston. My team's colors are orange and green, so it's very noticeable. So I was further peeved that I had to check my bag because then they lost it. It's like, at least be responsible if you're going to force me to do this.
Yeah, and usually if they do it right there at the gate,
it's then
they
just take it
and put it directly underneath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I find it so frustrating when that happens, because often I'll put like electronics or something in my carry-on that I don't want underneath the plane, and then they're like, "Well, now you got to put all your stuff in there," and I'm like, "Can someone be careful with this?"
Mm-hmm.
And then I look through the JetBridge like thin window, and they're like covering it with syrup and throwing it off different mountains. And I'm just like, that's not what I wanted.
Yeah, sir, my bar mitzvah tape is in there. You got to keep it.
Yeah, my hard drive, my good hard drive with my mom. It's a montage, guys. Please. I know some of us aren't Jewish and didn't have bar mitzvahs, but it's a bar mitzvah montage. Let's just get the phrasing right.
And I was there at the gate, and I was so annoyed. And I'm like, in my brain, I have all these scenarios where I tell them off and say, no, you're gonna keep my bag. I'm gonna keep my bag. But then I remember I'm a recovering people pleaser, and I'm just like, yeah, fine. Whatever you need. Do you want me to take it down? Like So I just gave it to them. And then I got it back.
Real quick, I just want to check. Lily, is it actually since you are Jewish, is it actually a bar mitzvah montage? Is that the official term?
Thanks for checking in with me, Jeff. According to the Torah, it's actually, and the Talmud states thing. That it's Montauk.
Oh.
That's where the name of the city comes from.
That's right. All right, good to know. Steven, what was the strangest thing that happened to you this week?
This weekend, I saw the world's biggest boy.
I don't want to know anything else. I'm satisfied with that answer.
Are you okay? Then I am too. All right. So let's recap, and we will see what everybody's strangest thing was. So Lily, what was the strangest thing that happened to you?
I mistook one red car for another. It pales in comparison to Steven.
Danny?
I led a group of people at a piano bar to Piano Man.
Jan?
I was forced to gate check my bag at the gate, and they lost my bag.
And Steven?
I saw the world's biggest boy.
All right. Well, I'm going to go in reverse order. Steven, yours is true. And... you're not even going to clarify. We're all just going to be comfortable with the fact that that is true. Jan, yours is false. Danny, yours is false. Lily, yours is false. Lily, is yours true or false?
No, I mean, I figured since mine was such a boring story, you'd assume it was true. It's true.
It is true. It's a good story. I thought it was a good story. So good that I thought, it's too plausible, so I'm going to say it's false.
Wow.
Danny, true or false?
Was mine too plausible? That's why you thought it was false?
No.
Okay. Well, yeah, it was bullshit.
Yeah, I thought so. Jan, true or false?
I had to gate check my bag, but it made it there with me. They did not lose it.
How would they lose?
That's what caught it, because I thought, they're just taking it directly
it's
underneath.
It's just the pink tag.
Nothing surprises me about airlines anymore. I would, you know.
Very true. Very true. Also, Danny, the reason why I knew yours was false was because I asked you what day of the week it was, and you went, not Saturday.
And you referenced the song.
Wednesday.
Okay. I did go to a piano bar on a Wednesday. This story didn't happen. You always pull out things that's just like you're pulling out faults of me as a human, and you're like, that's why this isn't true. And I'm like, no, that it's fine. I'll talk about it.
That fault that he pulled out was you not being able to lie about the day. So I think that's a fair fault to pull out.
And I could tell Danny was thinking, what day did I not talk to Jeff? So it seems like it's possible that this happened.
Well, Jeff, you and I talk every day.
Almost. Not as much as Steven and I talk.
That's true.
Pretty close. That is the end of our first round. Please join us for our second round coming up. Well, everyone, it is time for our second round. And this is a particularly exciting and interesting round because we left off with Jan talking about how she was afraid of ghosts and was you were in the far east of the United States. Where were you?
I was in Cape May, New Jersey.
That's right.
The tip of the shore, which in That's a very right. old house that then the power went out. And I right. have just and told you how scary I was of ghosts. And I was on the top floor with no lights and lots of doilies. And it was doilies.
Everything that we're talking about is in the past tense because we're picking up this episode almost a month after we had recorded the first part of it, which is great. Let's take a look at our next round. It is get to know your guests. And Jan, we are going to get to know you. You are going to describe a movie, and then Danny and Lily are going to have to guess if it is a movie or not. If you fool them, you'll get 10 points. If they get it correct, they get 10 points. So, Jan, what kind of movie are you going to talk about?
It's a comedy.
Oh, boy.
It's an animated movie from my childhood. It's called Bonjour, Nunu. And the animate, when I was, so for those who don't know me who are listening, my dad's French, and we would travel to France on family vacations. And the Animaniacs in French would say, hello, nurse, but they'd say, Bonjour, Nunu. And that's their phrase. So they had a like spin-off movie where the Animaniacs traveled to France, and then Wacko fell in. He's the oldest one, right?
Wacko, I think. Yeah, Yakko's the youngest yeah. one. I mean, the middle one.
Wacko, Yakko, and Dot. That's yeah. what it was. And Wacko fell in love with this nurse, Bonjour Nunu. But then she gets kidnapped by French gangsters, and the Animaniacs have to free her. And it's just this whole Parisian, bunch of Parisian tropes.
Right.
With the Wacko and Yakko and Dot.
Was it funny?
I mean, the Animaniacs are funny.
Was it funny or was it French funny?
I think it was funny.
But
it
you're
was,
French.
Well, yeah. So.
It's funny in like a new wave, Art Nouveau kind of way. That
yeah, it was all black and white. And
what? That was actually that was
a lot of jump cuts.
Jean-Luc Godard, isn't it?
That's a real question because Animaniacs are famous for parodying everything. So did they make fun of French culture or French French cinema, or was it more of, because it's a French movie, it was not like the tropey stuff that Americans see of French stuff?
Well, no, it was a French movie, but it was like Warner Brothers did it in France. So Warner Brothers was, I would imagine they were still at the helm of it. It just happened to be in French. Well, a lot of animation happens in France.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact, if you watch Goofy movie, all the coins are gold because all the animation was done in France. But we don't have gold coins here, except for Sacagawea, but nobody uses that.
Wow. That's true.
So it was funny. I wouldn't say
did
it
you
was
learn
like
that all in the past month? Or was that, did you know that before? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've known that since I saw Goofy movie and Powerline made me question my sexuality. Fair. Just kidding. No, it was funny. It was like kind of, I think I saw it. My brother and I were probably like, he's 2 years, 10 and 12. And it wasn't a successful spinoff, but they definitely did like tropes of, there was a black and white section where there was like Parisian, they weren't smoking because it was a kid's thing, but they were doing something that was like, and then up gangsters in like the 30s.
Did they have guns?
Yes.
So but like, guns, but no
funny looking guns that weren't threatening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was there a lesson that you learned in watching? Because a lot of animation, there's some sort of lesson that is gleaned from it.
If there was one, I did not learn anything.
Okay. It was a very French lesson that like ennui is part of the soul and you must accept it.
And mistresses are acceptable for men. But if Dot had tried anything with a man, oof, no.
So speaking of Dot, was there, or Yakko, was there a B or C story besides this, or were they all kind of in the same thing together?
I know that, well, Yakko, he like split off at one point and then discovered art or something. Mm. He went to Montmartre, which is where the Sacré-Cœur is, like all the artsies, and he like had a beret on at one point.
How long was this movie?
A regular movie. I mean, probably a little shorter because it was, you know, like how animated like spin-offs are sometimes like an hour as opposed to being an hour and a half. I mean, that's me guessing. I also was a child, so anything seemed long, but it was like a movie length.
And you...
So like the Normal Affair, Pinky and the Brain show up, great, they try question. To take over the world, that kind of stuff.
There was no Pinky and the Brain, it's just the Animaniacs. I know, they missed a big opportunity.
And do you think fondly of this movie? Like, if you were going to give it a rating, what would you give it?
I'd probably give it like a 6. A 6 on a goodness scale, a 10 on a nostalgia scale.
Out of?
Okay.
11?
Okay.
Okay. All right. That's a fair scale.
And this movie, was this something you saw in theaters? Was this something...
No, it was on TV.
It was on TV. Like, you didn't have a VHS copy of it or anything?
Well, no, I only saw it in France.
So you just saw it, like, on French TV?
Yeah, when we were there, like, visiting my family.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it since then?
No.
Do you know if it's attainable?
No, I don't. I should look that up, because my brother and I looked for a long time for the Ladybugs DVD, and it ended up being, like, $60 on Amazon. So I'm sure that this would be equally expensive if they ever put it on any sort of recorded form that was accessible.
I mean, Steven Spielberg needs his money, so I'm sure they did.
That's true.
Was there any bilingual factor in the movie, or was it fully in French?
Oh, no, they spoke English.
Oh, that's a game changer.
So it was like a French, it all took place in France, and anyone who was in France spoke French, and there were subtitles. Except for the nurse sometimes would say something like, yes, or like some, you know, like, oh, I'm a woman that can say one word and it turns you on. Yeah. In English.
But Dot can't even think about having a mistress.
Good Lord, no.
No. Okay.
Oh, mon Dieu.
Yeah. Can you give us like an interaction between them that in French, even though they spoke in English?
I don't know it by heart, but there was like a time where I think when Wacko met, they were like outside the hospital and he was trying to be smooth, and then she like had a little, like, she was of course like the pin-uppy nurse, so she's like walking by and she's like no, and then he keeps hitting on her, and then she's like smiles, and then she gives him a kiss on the cheek, and then he's instantly in love.
That's how love works.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you also only can say yes or no if you're in love.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, time for some verdicts. Danny, is this a movie or is it not? Thanks for clearing your throat before you answered.
Yeah, no worries. I had some phlegmy in there for the fans.
As it say in French, la phlegm.
Oh, is that right?
No.
Oh, see? Well, I fell for that
one. Or could I say, I'm a woman, so I should say, no.
You got me with that one, but you're not going to get me with this one. This is true.
Oh, so you think it is a movie.
I believe it.
Lily, is this a movie or not?
You know, I was a film major, and I took a French film class at college, and we surprisingly did not watch this film. So, we watch crap like Truffaut's The 400 Blows. Like, that's going to teach me anything. Oh,
yeah, awful God. Movies.
Pretentious shit. I do think it's real. I think it's a real movie. I can see the French market being huge into the anime.
All right. So, Lily, you also think it's real?
I think it's real.
Steven.
Oh, I think it's false. I think it's bullshit.
Okay. You know, my vote usually doesn't count, but I'm going to jump in, and I'm going to say this is bullshit too. So
why?
Guess what?
Why do you think it's bullshit?
I just it's just something. It's true.
Okay, cool. Thanks for the explanation.
How many points are we awarding, Jeff?
10 points for every person that she fools, and Lily and Danny will get points if they guess correctly. So Jan's going to make out either way. Jan's going to get 20 points either
way. It's been a while, so I hope so.
Jan, is this a movie or is it a bullshit movie?
It's absolutely untrue. C'est pas vrai. Although bonjour Nunu is what the nurse says in French in Animaniacs.
20 God. Points for Jan, 0 points for Danny, 0 points for Lily. Do you have, Lily, you took a French class. I also had to take several different French New Wave classes. Do you have a favorite, Lily, French film? And Jan, I'm going to ask you the same thing. Steven and Danny, feel free to also jump in.
I actually genuinely loved that class and the films. A favorite French New Wave film or a favorite film from that class?
Either.
I actually really did like The 400 Blows. And my favorite film that we watched in that class was called Enter the Void. And it's a 3-hour movie about a guy who gets shot while doing DMT and dies. And
oh, I remember you telling me about this. It ruined your life for a little bit, didn't it?
A little bit. And it left me scarred. Literally, for weeks, I had trouble sleeping because it was so... That movie really affected me, but I loved it.
Jan, do you have a favorite?
I love Cleo from 5 to 7.
That's my favorite.
Which is a wonderful movie.
I love that movie.
I love Agnès Varda. And also, I know it's recent. I just love it. Portrait of a Lady on Fire. I've audibly gasped during it. It's so beautiful. And
all right.
Yeah.
The bonfire scene in that movie was one of like the best mm-hmm. in theater scenes ever. I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. Cleo 5 to 7 is, I just love that movie.
It's so good. I feel like it's interesting to watch it now because, I mean, not like I watched it back then, but it feels weird if you watch it, but to think about it being made then was like so, it really was revolutionary.
Here's the thing. A lot of these French movies and French New Wave movies are on HBO Max. So if you ever want to go see these movies, I don't know why this has become part of the podcast.
No, it's great.
Good plug.
It is good. Yeah, no, plug. I mean, I
have a plug for HBO Max, which is moderately related to what we talked about, me being afraid of ghosts, is there, I found, I guess there's a CBS show called Ghosts coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it was based on a British one, yeah. And I've been watching the British one, which is on HBO Max, and it's delightful.
It's really great.
There's two people who inherit a house, and then there's ghosts, and then the wife can see them. It's very good.
And HBO Max is owned by Warner Brothers, right?
This is probably where you can find Bonjour Nunu on HBO Max.
Bonjour Nunu is on HBO Max.
That ghost show has Charlotte, who is on Taskmaster, and Lolly, who is on Taskmaster.
Oh,
they both are stars on it. Yeah. Lolly is also on Shrill.
Well, my favorite new wave French film is Ratatouille.
All right. I love Ratatouille.
Very nice. Steven, do you have one? And when you tell us, could you also tell us also by somehow giving us the score?
You know what? I'll give you the score and I'll keep it at that. I'll keep it short and sweet.
I would rather not have it be short and sweet. I would like for you to tell us your favorite French film and somehow work the score into the French New Wave.
Yeah, just take it fully New Wave and complete opposite of short and sweet. Just long and dreary.
Leave us breathless with all of it.
Ooh.
Oh,
nice.
Very French.
Well, I was going to go with the last French movie that I've watched. And I will say that there are 20 zucchinis and my life has been about eating them. And that's 20 is the points of Jan. Zucchini says, my life as a zucchini, which is a really great stop animation film. And Lily still has 5 zucchinis, and Danny has 0 zucchinis. Yeah,
that could have been better.
No.
I tried.
Steven, I thought that was great. And because of that, I'm going to award you 10 points. Your yes. winning does not matter whatsoever, but you're going to get 10 points for this.
Wait, I have one other French recommendation, which moderately inspired this fake Bonjour Nounou song. Triplets of Belleville, if anyone's seen it.
So good.
That was where I got the gangsters kidnapping.
Have you guys seen, what is it, I Lost My Body? Magnificent.
It's on my list.
I loved it.
Really? This is real? You're not just doing a bit?
Yeah, it's animated. I'm usually doing a bit, but it's an animated. I didn't remember the title. I used to call it Where's My Hand, but it's called... It's about
kind of the opposite.
I know it's about.
It's written by the Janikin. She doesn't have a head.
Oh, that's amazing. So this is about a hand that gets severed from a body, and it's about the hand trying to get back to the body. It's a really good film.
Oh, and it's stop motion.
No, it's 2D animation. I watched it with Lucas actually, but made him watch it in English with me, and he was not happy.
Wait, I watched it with you too. I think.
Oh, it was just more fun knowing Lucas was there.
Minus 10 points for Danny. All right, that is the end of our second round.
Aw, damn it.
We are in the third round, and Jan has a commanding lead so far. But this is anyone's game because you get 30 points if you fool me this round. So this round is an all play, and it's called an annoying habit that you have. And you are going to tell me an annoying habit, and I'm going to have to guess if it is truly an annoying habit that you have, or if it's some bullshit thing that you're making up to try to fool me and our listeners and just annoying the shit out of everybody. So let's start with Danny.
Are we not talking about our second month-long break we took?
Yeah, we took
I know.
We're making a tradition out of this. We took a huge month-long break. Absolutely.
Now we're all in France.
Right. Eating corn dogs. All right, Danny.
Did you, it got overrun by what Lily said, but you said that your transition was annoying bullshit. Speaking of Danny, what's your thing? Is that what you said?
That was so long ago, I can't remember.
Danny,
what is your annoying habit that you have?
Okay, my annoying habit is that I, this is multi-parts, but overall it's that I sleep with my pajama pockets inside out. First of all, like to wear pajama pants. Second of all, they have to have pockets. Third of all, those pockets have to be inside out.
What is the reason for having it inside out?
I do not like or appreciate the excess fabric on my thighs. Pajama pants are often much thinner than regular pants, and it's basically 3 times the amount of fabric in that pocketed area, both from the front top and bottom of the pocket, and then the pant leg. And I don't like having it on my leg, but I feel that the need for pockets is necessary to always have.
I like hearing you have to say words that are normally plural, like pockets and pants, singular, over and over and over.
Pajama pant.
Pajama pant. Yeah, you started off by saying that you wear pajama pant and that it must have pocket.
No, I pluraled then.
I guess what I'm saying is that you said you wear pajama pants and you insist that they have pockets, but you don't like the pockets and you push them out whenever you sleep.
I don't like sleeping in the pockets.
Sleeping in the pockets.
Sorry.
My favorite pocket to sleep in is a pita.
I don't like sleeping with the pockets the way they are. But I do like having pockets because a pocket is the most useful thing ever. Fight me on this one. But also, this has happened many times, but you get a call, oh my gosh, I'm having, my best friend is having a panic attack and they need help. Let me grab my keys and wallet and phone, but I'm in pajamas. It's midnight. What do I do? Oh, I have pockets in my pants. Great. You know, oh crap. We're out of, I brush my teeth and I'm ready to snuggle into bed, but oh crap. We have no milk for the coffee. You know what? Let me just run down to the local Schnucks and get some milk. And I'll just stay in my pajamas.
And are you putting the milk in the pajama pockets?
No, it's mainly for keys, wallet, phone.
Oh.
It's typical pocket usage. It's just, I just like to be prepared, as I'm known to be by many friends, always prepared. And I just want to be ready to spring into action. And the best way to be prepared to spring into action is to have pockets ready. And that's why they're ready. They're there. They're attached. They're just untucked. So they're not annoyingly, thick on my thighs.
Okay. And I just encourage all listeners to comment wherever comments are available for this with an atypical pocket usage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can email us. Please mm-hmm. send us emails to our email address. I'm not aware of what it is.
You are. You've plugged it in many episodes. Take a guess.
Bullshit alert without an I.
That's it.
At gmail.com.
That's it. Jan, okay. Jan, what would for you be an atypical pocket usage? But feasible. Atypical, but feasible.
Sand. Holding sand.
Okay.
I was going to say atypical pocket usage, breastfeeding. I don't know.
Sure. That's unusual.
Wait, what's in the pocket?
Who knows?
Okay.
All right. All right. Thank you for that, Danny.
Wait, before we move on, I just want to say my favorite ever Dimitri Martin bit is exactly about this. He says, like, oh, thank God my pajama pants had pockets in them to store all the stuff I need to hold while I'm sleeping. I wish there was a pajama backpack for all this other stuff I have.
It does seem like every situation Danny talked about were emergency situations. So Danny just wants pockets in case of an emergency.
Thank you. They're pockets in case of emergency. Thank you for clarifying.
What if you're in bed and your pockets are turned inside out and you're like, oh no, I got to get to my friend who's having a panic attack, but there's so much drag because your pockets are inside out and then it takes you longer.
Right.
That's when you pull the strap out and you just put the stuff in the pockets outside.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, you can it kind of have it like a little satchel back type of thing. Like you basically, they're fat flopping on the side. Your wallet is sticking out. That I've done.
You're fat flopping.
Hashtag fat flopping.
No.
All right. Thank you, Danny.
I wish everyone could see how gingerly Danny's covering his mouth while he laughs for that.
I have a very distinct laugh, and I try not to overpower the show with it. I'm sorry.
All right. moving along, Lily, what is your annoying habit?
Oh, God. I don't hang up the phone. So...
And you rely on whoever you're talking to turn it off?
Yeah, you know, now that we're not in the days of having to physically hang up the phone or even hold the phone, I typically take calls on my, you know, trusty headset or on speakerphone. I make a lot of calls for my job now, and I have just gotten into a habit. I don't hang up. I'm not the first to hang up. I let the other person do it, and I just hope that they don't have the same habit as me, because that would make for a very awkward extended silence.
So this isn't crazy. This is real. I'm rationalizing your annoying habit. It happens a lot because I will be driving and will call people and they won't hang up. And it's more inconvenient and difficult for me to try to hit the button on the console to turn it off. And I know there's one on the steering wheel, but that also is confusing. So it would just be easier if you're talking to someone who's in a car for you to hang up. And I don't know anyone who does. I think as a society, there are half the people with phones who are taking the burden of hanging up for the other half, and the other half are they're fine with that. Jeff, not doing it.
Jeff, do you need a tutorial on how to use your car?
No, it's just not easy in the dark. And Jan was nodding her.
No.
Jan was nodding. You were nodding your head. That it is difficult to hit that button.
You're already doing something you shouldn't be, which is
right.
Using your phone. But it's supposed to be hands-free completely. And if I have to touch a button to close the call, then it's not hands-free fully. So it is confusing.
That's why.
Thank you, Jim.
Everyone should have, you know, Siri listening or an assistant listening on the call, and you can just, you know, you're driving and merging onto a highway, and just go, just like, okay, thanks, have a good one. Hang up. Just hang up.
Sure. Lily, have you ever had someone stay on the phone call and you have heard them say, "Are you still there?"
No. I see. I kind of started this relatively recently. When I started my new job, I just got tired of the minutia, so I just don't hang up. So it's been a couple months that I've done this, and in that time, I haven't had anyone play chicken with me.
Mm. Interesting.
So you don't hang up, but do you pick up the phone when someone calls you?
No, I leave that to them.
Great. All right. Thank you for that, Lily. Jan, what is your annoying habit?
So I only fill up the gas tank half to three quarters. I never fully fill it up.
Ooh.
What?
Why?
Yeah. And it's annoyed many an ex.
Why? Excuse me. Why is it that you do that?
Thanks for clearing the throat.
Thank you. I knew I was going to get burned by it. Yeah. I was hoping to slide it by.
Nope.
And
nope.
Then I saw Danny get so excited. He's like, thanks for clearing your throat. So why is it that you do it?
Well, it's like twofold. For some reason, they just think that it saves money. I don't want to spend all the money usually to fill it up. I think I'm just gonna put this much in it. And
you're,
I know
so you're putting it off.
Yeah. And then I also am from New Jersey, where it's not self-serve. So I'm just used to like sitting in the car, and here it's freezing. So by filling it up halfway, I don't have to stand out in the cold as long.
Would you tell in Jersey when you were living there, would you say, oh, just fill it up halfway? Or you would have them fill, like, is this an active thing? Like, is it when you're the one pumping, or is it when anyone pumps?
It's when I'm pumping.
Okay.
When I'm
so pumping. You let them fill it up.
Yeah. How would they know, Danny? Would they be like, can you roll your window down? Can you move back? Can I see?
I mean, any good gas station attendant would, you know, kind of, you know, lick their thumb, eye the car, guess, oh, this is a 15 gallon tank. And then.
Wait, Steven, you don't pop a finger into the tank while you're filling it up to know.
I mean,
how
I
much
lick my
there.
Finger and put it in the tank, and then I figure it out that way. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like you lick your finger, like the wind is blowing southwest.
Yeah. It's like
So how much do you normally put in? Do you just go in and think, I'm just going to put in $20, or I'm just going
to
put in $30?
I try
how do you
to
eyeball
like,
it.
I try to put like 20, 15 to 20, and it depends. The problem is also, I usually pull Kramer, and I'll run it on E. Like, I'm very irresponsible in that term. So it's like, I usually get like the dashes of when it tells you how many miles are left. I'm like, oh, fuck. So then I'm just like, ugh, I don't have time to fully fill it up either. So it's a compound issue, mostly of my own making.
Have you ever?
Well, entirely of my own making, I guess.
Have you ever run out of gas?
No.
Oh, good.
Almost.
Never? Never?
Good.
No. Thank goodness, no. Almost once on the Merritt Parkway in Connecticut.
Oh, don't run out of gas on the Merritt. There's no shoulder to pull over.
There's no shoulder, and there's always traffic.
There's always traffic. Northeast, am I right?
But a beautiful bridge-covered road, and if you want fall, that's your place, Merritt Parkway.
Oh, yeah.
Connecticut.
Oh. And it's worse than the Hilton Parkway because there's no free cookies in the lobby. Oh,
double. That's a double tree, I'm pretty sure.
Has anyone here run out of gas?
No.
No.
Never, really.
Not in my car, mentally, I'm sure. But
I have had the anxiety as if I had, but not yet. It was so close.
Sure. Yeah. You start sweating. Start planning what you're going to do. I've run out. Yeah,
Full shame spiral. Jan, you're so irresponsible. You'll never make anything of yourself. Really go off the deep end there.
Always be prepared. You know, have things in case of an emergency. Like pockets.
Right.
A little Ziploc full of gas in your pocket.
Yeah, that's atypical.
That is atypical. Very nice. Steven, what is your annoying habit?
I have a tendency to not see stop signs.
That's less annoying and dangerous.
Oh, yeah, but it's annoying when you have your wife or other people in the car and you're like, there's a stop sign, and I slam on my brakes just to...
Is that an annoyance for you then?
I mean, it's annoying because I feel like it's that tension in the air when someone's like, there's a stop sign, and you're like, what? And then you just... Everything is like so last second in a car when I don't see a stop sign. So that's really annoying.
Wow.
Yeah, that tension of near-death experiences.
How annoying it was that I almost died.
Yeah, and have you ever gotten a ticket for it?
No, I have not.
You guys all live so recklessly, and no one ever...
I just said I have pockets in case of emergency. How is that reckless?
It's pretty crazy.
Right. Even for sleeping, he has pockets.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to make some verdicts on this. I'm going to go in reverse order. Steven, yours is true. Jan, boy, I really thought I knew this. And then I got swayed a different direction in the middle of it. So, Jan, I believe that your story is true. Lily, yours is true. Danny's, yours is bullshit. So let's go around. Danny, is yours true or bullshit?
Lily is shaking her head because she knows that I know that we all know that I'm getting 20 points because 30 points because please don't take 10 away.
20s,
no, 30, 30, 30, 30. Don't do this to me because that is 100% true. It's 100% true. I'm done talking.
I forget what your thing was because you took so long.
Oh, you and your humor. No, it's... Lily knows that because that was my go-to fun fact about myself for many years now.
Oh, fun?
Yeah, because I would be up at 2 a.m. and Danny would wander to go to the bathroom with just pockets flailing.
Fat flopping.
Yeah, fat flopping would knock on her door.
Fat flopping.
Fat flop would hit her door. Knock, knock. Oh, sorry. It was just my fat flop.
Hashtag gas flopping.
Lily, is yours true or is it bullshit?
Yeah, it's true, Jeff. You got me. You got me.
Yeah, it just sounds so true. It sounds so relatable. Great. Jan, is yours true or is it bullshit?
Mine is bullshit. Yes. I am a very irresponsible when it comes to the frequency with which I fill up my car, but I always fill it up.
I did not believe you through most of it, and I don't know why I switched on it. It was your explanation as to what you would do if you were at a where they filled it up for you. So you convinced me. Good job. Steven, true or bullshit?
It's unfortunately true. It's terrible.
Steven.
You just need terrible. To pay attention.
Yeah, follow the rules.
I don't know. It's like a red sign and an octagon is just in my blind spot always for me.
Wait, Steven, are you driving right now?
Steven, stop.
Have you ever considered you maybe have red green color blindness and it just blends?
He's stopping
into the
at every tree now.
It's like I love an octagon shape, but I never stop.
What are those odd octagonal plants everywhere?
What is the word stop doing on these plants?
So Danny asked for 20 points.
No, I didn't. No, I misspoke. I asked, you cannot
keep doing this. Jan, how many points do you want for getting yours correct? For me getting yours incorrect?
I want 23 points. That's my favorite number.
23. Okay, you may have 23 points.
I do want 30.
Thank you.
Steven.
Don't still lose, Danny.
I know, but Steven. I want 30.
No. Steven, can you give us an update on the score?
I'll give you an update. Danny, even with 30 points, you're still at 20 points positively. So you're way behind Jan.
No, I'm not. I'm at 25. I had Oh no, you're right. You're right. Never mind. Yeah, I lost.
You know where you can put those points?
In your pockets. Lily, 5 points. Myself, I somehow have 40 points, but Jan wins with her 20 plus 23 points at 43 points.
Whoa, that was the perfect number for you, Jan. That was very impressive. Some very good math.
I'm learning to take what I want.
Wow, that is awesome. Jan, do you have anything that you'd like to plug or discuss or have anybody look out for anything that you're involved in or worked on lately?
Not really. I've just been hanging out and working. But if you like Instagram, I have one of those, I guess. I also have a new website. It's called, I made my website, janjanganay.com. But there's a tab where I call myself a pun sultant, and I'm charging for people who need puns of various, if you need like a one word pun, or if you need a whole like wedding hashtag, or I've had people ask me about puns, so why not charge for it? So if you need puns, I'm your girl. That's awesome. Pun sultant, janjanganay.com.
Should make millions of dollars for that.
How much are you charging per pun?
I'm going low right now. It's like 5 for one single pun. 10 to 20 based on like a little bit longer. And then like, if there's a lot of them, it's like 30 plus.
Cool.
Wow.
Depends on the like what people need.
What about for one Sacagawea dollar?
I'll just say a P.
Jan, also you were working on, and I saw you on TV. Can we plug that?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I worked on the second season of Work in Progress. And I was fortunate enough to be a background character in the role I was born for, which is silent lesbian in back of women's festival in 1999. So if you watch episode 206, episode 6 from this most recent season of Work in Progress, you might recognize me in my own clothes at a workshop run by Tien Tran, and Abby is in it as well. And it was very fun.
That's awesome.
Oh, you texted me about that and was like, "Oh, are you in Chicago? You should be in the background." And I was like, "God, damn it!" Yeah. I was with Danny when I got that text, and I was like, "God damn it!"
Well, you both won. You got to spend a lovely afternoon with Danny, and mm-hmm. Jan got to be on television. Yeah. So it's a win-win for everybody.
I think that's the day we went to the Mets game, and you learned who the Mets were besides Keith Hernandez.
I'd rather be background trans lesbian number 2 than Danny's friend.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's a great way to end the podcast.
Holy
Thanks,
shit.
Everybody.
I hate this show.
Thanks for listening to Bullshit Alert.
Thanks for listening to our poopy bullshit on Bullshit Alert. Thank you to our guest and undefeated Bullshit Alert champion, Jan Janganay. You can follow Jan on her Instagram at JugglesMagoo. You can also check her website janjanganay.com to hire her for your pun needs. And you can see Jan by watching episode 6 of Work in Progress if you want to see Jan sitting in a chair. On behalf of Jeff Griggs, Lily Moss, and Danny Marshall, I'm Stephen Carter. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BullshitAlert, no I. Like, share, and tell your friends about this show. Edited by Lucas Marshka. Theme music by Fred Stark. Check him out at fredstarkmusic.com and Spotify.